This morning, if you will turn with me to John, the book of John, chapter 3, verses 16 through 18, and I want to talk to you about how do you explain the meaning of Christmas in just a few words. If you had just a very few words to explain Christmas, how would you explain Christmas? Well, the best way that I feel that anyone can explain Christmas, anyone, is a very, favorite scripture that almost everybody knows. And if you'll stand with me and read with me, and it'll come up on the screen, I believe. And let's read that scripture together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Verse 18 says, he who believes him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. Heavenly Father, I pray for this time, that you bless this time and bless this message and allow your Holy Spirit to come and anoint this time. I pray this in your mighty name. And everyone said, amen. So, I think we can say it this way. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. No one could outdo what God has done. No one can outdo what God has done. No one could give a greater gift than God has already given. No one. No one. I would like for us to consider the meaning of Christmas this morning and what it should mean to each and every one of us. You notice I said what it should mean. Christmas means a lot of things to many people and different people and many people throughout the world. Okay? To some it is a time of shopping, a time of spending, Black Fridays, Gray Thursdays, White Cyber Mondays. Shop until you drop. You've heard those sayings, right? Shop until you drop. That's probably a favorite woman's saying. And the men cringe when Christmas comes because we see all of our accounts go down to nothing. So, yeah. Another one. It's a time, for some, it is a time for drinking and carousing. And that is so true. You hear of it over and over again where there's more deaths, there's more problems, there's more people drinking to the point where they get into accidents, there's more DUIs during the Christmas season, into the New Year's season. A lot of things, they call that making you happy. My goodness. Now, I'm not going to say I haven't drank in my life, but the aftermath was horrible. And to drink to make yourself stupid doesn't... I would like some days to do candid camera filming of some people after they've been drinking for a long period of time. How stupid they really look. I don't know if that would stop them, but I'm going to put it on YouTube. It's just don't understand. And I'm not going to say, I had a mom that died of cirrhosis of the liver from drinking. And she was a very unhappy woman. And the only reason why she used drinking, she used it as an excuse to vacate this world and get into her la-la land. Now you understand, I'm just talking drinking, but it goes further than that. It's anything that alters your mind from being thinking on reality and getting zapped out. Some people are happy drinkers. Some people are mean drinkers. And I've heard that in my work. I deal a lot with people that have the scenarios. And they say, I had one family that she divorced her husband because he was mean. Guess what? They got married again last week. They wanted me to do the marriage, but it was on a Friday where I couldn't do it because of dress rehearsal. But he got really sick, had to quit drinking, had to quit all that carousing. He came back as her ex. She came back to take care of him. And the rest is history. They finally made it. They made a pact to get remarried. Got remarried on Friday. And he says it's the happiest moment because before, it wasn't true marriage. We had a marriage, and he admits it. I was very abusive. My alcoholism was not good. I'd beat on her. I'd do things that were... Well, she divorced me for it. But now, she fell back. I never lost my love for her. I don't think she ever lost her love for me. It was the drinking that drove us apart. Drinking, drugs, anything can drive you away from family. From family. And when that is alleviated, usually that person's a real good person. He's just allowed things to get to deter him from what he really wants or she really wants. And it did. So, anyway, enough of that one. To some, it is a time of travel and entertaining. Right? But what is the real meaning of Christmas? What message should it convey to every one of us? Well, if I can, I'm going to endeavor to you what Christmas means to me. Now, in the past, I won't say that it did, but now. Christmas is a time of remembering. Remembering the great love that God had for each and every one of us. He loved us so much that he spared not his only son that we might be saved. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's how much God loves you. He loves you so much, he allowed his son that was incarnate in heaven to come down and become a human being, to experience humanity, to experience us, so that he could present salvation to us through his son. Remembering the uniqueness of his life, his teachings, his miracles, his prophecies, his death, and his resurrection. Remembering all those humble but great people surrounding the Christmas story, like Joseph and Mary, Zacharias and Elizabeth, Anna, Simon, the shepherds, the wise men, and the list could go on and on and on. But that just gives you kind of an understanding. But that's what Christmas means, the very beginning, is remembering. We've lost that. We don't want to remember. The churches are proving that we've lost the memory. If everybody remembered what he did for us, every church in this town would be full. In fact, I can remember the days on Christmas, there would be no stores open. There would be nothing. It would be a holy day unto God. Now they say, well, we don't really know. Christmas, was Jesus really born on that day? You know, really, who cares? Who cares? I don't care what day he was born. You know what I care about? He was born. And that's what we're celebrating. We're not celebrating that he was born on December the 25th. That is the day we chose to celebrate his birth. Whether it was that day or any day. Understand that. Get out of the particulars that people want to throw in your face and say, you know what? It doesn't really matter what day he was born. I celebrated on this day to celebrate his birth. His birthday. Every one of you have birthdays. What about those poor people that are born on leap year? So does that mean that you only celebrate their birthday every fourth year? Right? You don't. You celebrate it every year, even though they were born on the 29th. You celebrate it, so you symbolize that day, even though it really isn't that day. That's the way we should understand. And when people throw that in your face, throw it right back in them. Well, then I guess when you're born on leap year, on the 29th, you don't have a birthday but every 4 years. You see what I'm saying? You throw it back. It's not the date. It's remembering his birth. That's the most important thing. Remember what he has done for you and I. Second, Christmas is a time of loving. People make a special effort to be a little kinder, a little more considerate of others, a little more generous during the Christmas season. They get involved in such things as Christmas caroling, toys for the needy, which we need a lot more of, meals for the misfortunate, you know, having meals, doing things, you know, finding someone that's in need and doing things a little extra for them. And it seems like Christmas does bring that. It does. It puts a little bit more, people become a little more loving during the Christmas season. Okay? It is a time for reaching out to others with love and concern. Remember the statement, God so loved the world. We cannot forget that. God so loved the world. The world is not this planet. The world is not our buildings. The world is you and me. He so loved you. And that's the very first point of that John 3:16. We lose fact of that. We lose fact that God so loved us. So many people there are so much lack of love in our society, in our world. We're always out to get, and not give. We forget love. What real love means. God so loved you. Say that. Tell the person next to him. Now, turn around and say, God loved me. Tell him, God loves me. He does. Don't deter that from the point. God loves you. In all our preaching, teaching, and evangelism, let us always remember that the motivation for all this is the love of God for the lost sinners. He really cares about us, so should we care as he cares. So should we love as he loves. And if you go back to John 3:16 and read verse 17, I want to read it in the Amplified. I really grabbed a hold of the Amplified on that scripture. And I want to read that to you. For God did not send the Son into the world in order to judge, to reject, to condemn, to pass sentence on the world. I might need to say that again, because I really don't think you guys got that. He did not send Jesus to this world to condemn the world. He's not here to condemn you. He's not here to pass sentence on you. Okay? He's not here to say, you're not worthy. Well, in reality, we aren't. But he doesn't pass. We are the worst persons when it comes to passing sentence on ourselves. I've heard it over and over and over. I am so unworthy. Well, yes, you are. But God sent his Son to say, you are worthy. He did not pass sentence on you. He did just the opposite of that. He wants to bless you. He wants to prosper you. He wants to tell you, you are worthy. He wants to let you know that beyond everything else and what everybody tries to throw at you, you're worthy. He didn't come to pass sentence on the world, but that the world might find salvation and be made safe and sound through him. Do you understand what that says? That he doesn't condemn you, but he came to provide a way out. He came to provide salvation to you. Salvation is not the works you do, people. Salvation is a gift given to you by Jesus only. And he gave you that gift, hallelujah. Yeah. You can tell I'm tired. He gave you that gift. Hallelujah. He presented it to you the day he was born. He came to this earth so that you might receive salvation. That you might be whole. Guess how many people aren't whole today? If you do not know the Lord, you're not whole. When he went to Nicodemus at night, why did he go to Nicodemus at night? He went to, or Nicodemus came to him at night. Nicodemus was a high up religious order leader. And in this leadership, he knew that he couldn't come to Jesus during the day because all the other religious leaders would scorn him. Because Jesus was an outcast, was not supposed to be doing what he's doing. Jesus came to save, and they couldn't understand that. Because in the religious world, you're saved by your works. What are you doing for God today? You know? How many people are you out feeding today? Now, I'm not telling you not to do it. But I'm telling you that we're not saved by our works. Salvation is of God. Now, once you've got that gift, then all, like we were talking about, then all those other things will come into place because you will desire to do them. It will not become a duty, a requirement, or a law. God does not put laws in you. God puts a heart relationship in you, a love in you. Woo, do you understand? Christmas is a time of giving. Last night I was talking to one of our boys in the play, and I said, isn't it so good? Look at all those gifts that we're going to be giving out. And he says, no. I said, how many gifts are you going to give? Give? Are you kidding? I want to get a bunch more. I'm not going to give any of my gifts away. And I looked at him, and I said, son, maybe you better go back and read this play again. I think you're getting the wrong meaning. And I laughed about it and let it go. But you know what? In reality, that's what's being implanted into our kids today. They are so concerned about what they're getting for Christmas, they forget the point of who we should be giving. Because if Christ gave his life, what are we? Who are we to be asking, okay, Jesus, what are you getting me today? A lot of our prayers are that way. Lord, I need this. Lord, I need that. You know what? Jesus already knows you need that. Maybe you ought to praise him and say, thank you for giving me that. But pastor, he hasn't given it to me yet. Well, you know what? If he already knows you need it, you might as well praise him in advance for giving it. Because he promises, in his promises to you, he promises he'll give it to you. I think we get the wrong idea. Giving. For God so loved the world that he gave. Love cannot look with indifference on the hungry, on the sick, on the lonely, on the lost souls of this world. Love must give. God gave all he could give. He gave his only begotten Son. This gift was freely given. Lovingly given, graciously given to all of us who were undeserving sinners. That's what he did for you and I. That's what he did for you and I. Christ shared our human nature so that we might receive his divine nature. I'm going to say that again. Christ shared our, he came down as a human being, he shared our human nature so that we, upon our relationship with him, can receive his divine nature. Do you understand that? Day by day, those who receive him are being transformed into His image until we all come into the full stature of the perfected children of God, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Wow! It's a time of forgiving. Forgiving. God was willing to forgive us. He was willing to show mercy to a sinful, lost, and dying world. Do we possess His forgiving spirit? Or is our spirit a judgmental one? Does it look down on others? Is there someone we really need to forgive today, but we say, I'll never forgive that person? I've heard that over and over again in my times talking with people. And these are people that are dying. They're definitely having to get their eternity straight. Because if they don't, they'll die to damnation. And that was one of my main questions I ask them. Is there anyone out there that you have not forgiven? That you feel you have a need? Because if you are unforgiven or unforgiving, how do you expect God to forgive you? Whoa. That's deep. And that's the question I would ask. And some say, well, I will never be able to forget so-and-so. That family member, I will never. To my death, I will never. Well, you know, I could say stuff. I bite my tongue. And I say, well, you know, you may need to really think about that. Because how you're unforgiving, guess who's unforgiving to you? And I have to leave it at that. Forgiving. It's a time of rescuing. God rescued us by His love and mercy. He saved us from perishing. Without Christ, we are without life and headed to an eternity without God. Forever separated from the God who made us and longs to save us. Without that, we would be, death would be there, imminent. The punishment of judgment would be there. But see, He wants us to inherit eternal life. We are all descendants of a dying race. Do you understand that? Do you understand that you're born to die? I'm sorry to pop your bubble, but we're all part of a dying race. We all are born to die. See, God understood that and He knew that. But for the grace of God, we will likewise not perish, but have, what is it? Eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, whosoever that has a relationship with Him, will have eternal life with Him. Woo! Now that should make so excited. I should be hearing a couple of amens. Praise the Lord. I'm so happy. Then again, if you're not happy, then you're probably there sitting there thinking, He's really getting on me today. No, I'm not. I'm just wanting you to be happy. I'm just wanting you to know eternal life is yours. It's right there. It's a gift from God. All you have to do is accept it. All you have to do is accept it. It's a time of changing. The Christ of Christmas changes us. He makes us new creatures. All things become new for us. We have new goals, new ideas, new direction, new hope. Christ changes people for the better. He changes us for the better. Once we were lost, and now we're saved. Once we were doomed to a damnation, and now we are setting our life to eternal bliss with God. You're going to walk, and I told this to a few people about heaven. I said, your time is coming. It's soon. Very soon, when you close these eyes to this world, you're going to open your eyes to heaven. You're going to walk down the streets of gold with Jesus. You're going to open the pearly gates. You're going to walk in through that and meet all the loved ones that you that passed before you. All the patriarchs will pass before you. You'll get the time to talk to one. If you have a question to ask Paul, there he is. Ask him. Moses. If you got a question to ask Moses, there he is. David. Joshua. You know? Elijah. Both of them. They're there. You'll walk on the streets of gold. You'll be able to talk to them direct. And then, the most ultimate price, the most ultimate goal will be Jesus. See, he's the one that picked you up. He's the one that took you there. And then you'll be able to bow before him and praise and worship Jesus. That's what heaven's going to be. That's what eternity is going to be. And what we figure with our 50 to 80 to 90 years of life or whatever it is that we have this life is a minute to God. To God, eternity is forever and ever and ever. Do you understand that? Lastly, it's a time of rejoicing. Rejoicing in God's unmerited grace. Rejoicing in the release of forgiveness. Rejoicing in a new life with a new mission. The old mission's gone. God's going to give you a new mission. You know, I tried to this morning give you something from my heart of what this Christmas is really like and what it means to me. Now, it didn't used to mean that way to me. In my younger days, it used to mean, what gifts am I going to get? How big is the Christmas tree? How many lights did you put out in front of the house? You know, it was all about me, me, me. You know, that's changed. It's not about me. It's about all those people out there that are dying. All those people here in the cities of Sparks and Reno that do not know the Lord and that are dying and going into damnation without him. That means more to me than anything else. To reach them somehow, some way. Reach them with the Lord. What does the coming of Christ into this world mean to you? Have you received him as your Lord and Savior? And if not, I encourage you this day to call on the Lord. And I think the best way to close this service this morning is with all of us to stand and pray. Oh, I do have a song for you, but for now, I want to stand and pray this sinner's prayer. Then I got a song for you to listen to. And just repeat this after me. Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. And I ask you this day, forgive me of my sins and make me whole. Thank you, for I know I have asked, you have heard, I receive. And now I'm a child of the living God. Amen. And if you really said that in a minute, you are a born-again believer. Let us play that little video.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have him than riches. Jesus. Love it.